makes it all right. You can have a long talk, too, now.
All right.
Sometimes you have one of them midnight hours, you start praying like Jesus prayed in the garden, and tears coming down and just talking to the Father. You can take it all to him. Don't you know that?
Amen.
You can bring it to him because he's a good God. He's an all-knowing God. He knows our trials and our tribulations even before we get them. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
And he has all the answers. Are y'all believing that this morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm believing, and I'm just trusting in the Lord, and we pray that you are too. If you're here this morning, it's good to see everyone in the house of God this morning. If you're visiting with us, we just want you to know that you are honored guests. You're among the people of God in the house of God, and we're just trying to preach the word of God. Is that all right?
Amen.
And again, we ask your indulgence to open your Bibles and look with us at our text for this morning. We want to keep the Bethea and Davis and Coleman families in continued prayer. We funeralized Sister Coleman on yesterday. It was a marvelous turnout, a great outpouring of love and support for the family. And now as they try to move on, we want to just continue to keep them in prayer. But not only them, all those in the household of faith that
Amen.
Are dealing with issues and just suffering. We know that trials come.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Trouble comes and trouble goes. But when you walk in by faith, you understand that trouble comes and trouble goes.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Right.
We just got to accept that sometimes. We just got to deal with stuff in life.
Right.
And when stuff comes, we just need to be ready for it. That's why when I looked at my text this morning, I thought last week we were over there in Romans 5, 1 through 6, and I left a little meat on the bone. So I thought we'd go back to it. Is that all right? But before we go there, I want to give you a platform here. I want to help you to see something. Some of us may have heard of the great gospel preacher, Brother Marshall Keeble.
Amen.
He used to preach a sermon during gospel meetings, 5 Steps to the Church and 7 Steps to Heaven. And in this sermon, he likened obeying the gospel and continuing in the faith like climbing 2 sets of ladders. You know, the first set of steps were hearing the gospel and believing the gospel and repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ and being baptized. But then after that, you had another set of steps. See, some of us are under the misconception that when we become children of God, that we stop. We have to do anything else. That our faith walk has started and ended at the same time. But God tells us some things over there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, y'all know where I'm going. Look there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. These are those steps that Brother Keeble was talking about, but that Peter helps us to see over here in the second epistle of Peter chapter 1. He says there, starting at verse number 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied." Be multiplied. That means it's supposed to continue to grow and abound and abound and abound.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember Jesus with the loaves and the fish? The disciples looking at him saying, how are we going to feed all these thousands of people?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, just go on and feed them, like I said. And look what happens. That bread multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
That fish multiplied. And an entire company of folk, thousands of folk, were fed. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We're going to talk about that glory in just a minute. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. See, you escaped something.
All right, brother.
Jesus pulled you out That's of it, your sinful state into a right relationship with God. That's what we talked about last week about being justified by faith. See, God, through Jesus Christ, has put you right with God. Okay. See, did you know there was a time we weren't right with God? Did you know there was a time that when you was out there doing the stuff you did, when you was out there messing around and playing around, that you weren't right with God? But see, when you got to know who Jesus was, when you understood who he was and what he had done for you, then through your obedience to God, see, he put you right with God. See, you couldn't do that by yourself. You needed a mediator. Amen, somebody. Doesn't the Bible say there's one God and one mediator between God and man? The man, Christ Jesus. Jesus did something for you that you could not do for yourself. Wow. So now that you've obeyed the gospel, there's some things you ought to do. There's some things you ought to continue to do. Look what he says right here in verse number 5. He says, beside this, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith. I got the faith, Brother Veal, but Peter says you got to add to it. It's like you done finished those steps to become part of the body of Christ, but now you got to keep climbing. Amen, somebody. He says you need to add to your faith. Well, what's on that first rung, Brother Veal? Look what he says there. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now think about this as you're looking at these words, like you climbing the steps. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, now that's that temperance, that's self-control.
That's right.
I was talking about that last week at 4:30 worship, that self-control, learning how to, just like it said, control yourself. You ever had somebody tell you, control yourself? What do you think they were saying to you? Man, get yourself in check. You showing off. You acting up. Get yourself in check. I'm going to get to Romans chapter 5 in just a minute. But he says temperance, and to temperance, patience, perseverance, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, look at this, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. See, you got to learn how to love. You need to be taught how to have brotherly kindness. See, the way Jesus took you in your sinful state and decided that even though you weren't worthy of salvation, I'm going to give it to you anyhow. See, that grace, that brotherly kindness. See, he said, despite who you were, despite what you've done, I love you enough to go to Calvary's cross for you.
All right.
So, and I did that because I love you. But it starts with that brotherly kindness. And with that brotherly kindness comes the charity. See, you got to practice loving folk. See, love don't come just, see, it's not that romantic kind of love. We're talking about the phileo, that agape love. See, we're not talking about that romantic love. That romantic love just hit you. You remember when you fell in love? Amen, somebody. I'm going to get to my text in a minute. This is just a prelude. Is that all right? He said, remember when you fell in love and it hit you like a rock? Huh? Well, maybe you ain't never fell in love, but it's a figurative thing to get hit with Cupid's arrow. But when you get hit with Cupid's arrow, that love comes on you sort of quick, right? Don't always stay. Sometime it linger. Sometime it go away. But that happens kind of quick. See, this agape love, It's a gradual thing. You learn how to love folk. Amen, somebody. See, you learn how to love my sister, how to love my brother, how to love my enemies, how to love those folks who despitefully use you and abuse you. You learn that. See, these are the steps to heaven. See, when you capture that love, then you are just getting just a piece of the kind of love that Jesus, or that God through Jesus Christ, showered down on each and every one of us. So as we climb these steps to heaven, we need to be adding these things to our faith. How am I walking by faith, Brother Bill? Because I got virtue, and I got knowledge, and I got temperance, and I got patience, and I got godliness, and I got brotherly kindness, and I got charity. And look what he says right there in verse number 8. He says, if these things are in you, if these things are in you, oh, look at the next one. And abound. If these things be in you and they grow, they linger, they stay around a little while. You ever get someplace where you feel totally comfortable and you say, I think I'm going to stay here for a little while. Nice comfortable bed. That bed's so comfortable, you just say as you roll over, I think I'm going to stay here for a little while. You roll them covers over. You flex that pillow and you, I'm going to stay here for a little while. You ever been that comfortable? See, when you get comfortable in Christ, you start to abound in the things that he's allowing you to possess as you add to your faith. He says, if these things are in you and abound, as you put Jesus on, you put the characteristics of Christ on. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he gives you a little warning there. Look at the next verse there. He says, but he that lacketh these things, wonder why he says that. Because there's some folk out there that won't add. Some, for what's the opposite of addition? Well, see, some folks subtracting from that. Some folks going backward instead of forward. Instead of climbing the ladder to heaven, we sticking down in the basement. Are we standing on the promises or just sitting on the premises? Amen, somebody. You got to add to your faith. Amen. He says, add these things. And he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You ever been in trouble? And then you have the faith to, God gives you the faith to kind of look around the corner. You can almost see the answer coming. He that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off. And what happens as a result? Look what it says there. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We can't be short-sighted. We got to be long-winded, long-suffering. We got to have these things added to our faith. We can't just use the word haphazardly. We got to put it into action. The faith we got to have is an active faith. Help me, somebody. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren. And I love the way Peter puts this. You know what? It's like, I got to just understand and believe that there's some folk out there who are naysayers. There's some folk out there who ain't quite got this. There's some folk out there who are not putting this thing into action, who are not putting it into practice. They put their faith on like they put their clothes on. Clothes come on and clothes come off. Amen, somebody. See, you got to put it on and keep it on. He talks about it another way, about the whole armor of God. But we're going to stay right here. That's a whole other sermon. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar, hath forgotten he was purged from his own sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Put some time in. Some of y'all going to go to job tomorrow. Preacher. Ain't going to put no time in. Preacher. Oh, you're going to punch in. You're going to clock in. You're going to check in. You're going to sign in. But you ain't going to do nothing. Well, he says, give diligence to make your calling and your election. See, this calling, this election, Jesus did that. And now that he did that for you, now there's something that you need to do. You have a new calling. You have a new election. He says, make your calling and your election sure. He says, if you do these things, you won't stumble. You won't fall. See, the person I'm worried about the most is the folk who think they've arrived. I'm a new creature. I'm a new Christian. I'm done now, right? That's all I got to do. I got the job. What else is there? What happened to the work?
Watch out.
What happened to the work? Don't you want to get paid? Don't you want your reward? Don't you know the boss man looking at you? He wants you to do some things. Don't just have a faith that obeys. Have a faith that saves. I want to stay saved. Isn't that what we talk about? Saving souls and keeping souls saved. Well, how do you keep your soul saved? You got to add to your faith. Amen, somebody. Now I can get to my lesson. So he wants you to add to your faith. He says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. That's our goal. Heaven is our goal, church. Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I can get to my text, man. We were talking about being justified by faith over there in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And in the first part of this lesson, we examine how by faith and our understanding of the saving power of the gospel of Christ, we're justified. We're made proper with God. We've been put right with God, amen, through Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And it's because of this justification that we have peace with God. We've been reconciled to God. We've been ushered in through Christ into the grace of God. We have a new standing, a new position, a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we now need to acknowledge this reconciliation by our submission to those precepts that should be the guiding force in our Christian world. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. See, we've been made dead to sin. The old man's been crucified. And we've been buried by baptism into Christ to rise again to walk in the newness of life by the power of the risen Savior. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How in the world can you have a bad day when you know you've got Jesus in your corner? He says, I now live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me, first of all, and gave himself for me. Those are the things we need to be adding to our faith. Our lives have been changed. And through this justification, we now have access to God through the conduit of Christ, our mediator and our redeemer. We have this access. We have this grace. We have this hope. And this is the faith upon which we stand. And the Bible says in verse 2 of Romans 5, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now this glory is regarded as the godly character of Christ, the divinity of God in the human personification of Christ, and those Christian attributes that are manifested by those of us who are in Christ. We remember in Romans 3 and 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We've received through our obedience to the gospel this justification, this righteousness, this new beginning on the path to heavenly glory. This glory is the presence of God. This glory is the power of God. And we have hope of this glory by the power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Am I right about that?
All right.
When we ponder this justification, again, still some meat on this bone, so I'm just going to peel it off here. Is that all right? When we ponder this justification, when we understand what God through Jesus Christ has done for us, we need to daily rededicate ourselves to that faith upon which we stand. Are we rededicating ourselves daily? When we get up and we pray in the morning, are we asking for help? Are we asking for strength? Are we thanking Him for giving us the strength to continue to endure? See, later on in the text, He starts talking about something called tribulations. We'll get there in a second. Now, in verses 3-6, Paul is helping us to understand our level of commitment, our level of responsibility, that this justification by faith we've achieved in Jesus Christ. Now, in the latter part of verse 2, we're back in our text, Paul says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And in verse 3, he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh or produces patience. Now, the word glory here in verse 3 carries a different meaning from the same word in verse 2. See, in verse 2, the word comes from the Greek word doxa. And in verse 3, the word comes from the Greek katruomai. Probably saying it wrong. And in this passage, it means, quite literally, to brag about or to boast about. He says, we glory in tribulations also. Now, this might cause some confusion if we didn't understand the justification. See, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we boast in tribulations not because of tribulations, but we boast in tribulation. Y'all need some help. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all gonna stay with me this morning? Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at this. Verses 6 through 10. Says here, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Sometimes we can get a little cocky in our Christian walk. Sometimes we think we've arrived. We've learned everything. We've done everything. We've achieved everything. And now we do a different kind of boasting. We start bragging about that flowing red cape we have and that big old Christian C we got on our chest. He says, and lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, it's not me. It is not my power. It's Christ working through me. Amen, somebody. So we need to understand what he's saying. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen, somebody. See, there's no foolishness in boasting of your tribulation rather than reveling in your justification, because Satan's always there.
Right.
See, he's that constant thorn in our flesh. And though we might wish that this thorn would be removed, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
See, we can boast in our infirmities. We can boast in our trials. We can boast in our tribulations, because it is then that the power of God is made manifest in our lives.
Amen.
When you get that phone call from the doctor,
come on, preacher.
Mr. Veal, I got your test results back. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at your blood count here, and you know, those white blood cells, they're a little elevated. They are. I don't know what he's talking about. What does that mean? So he's giving me all this stuff, and I'm taking it in, and I'm sinking lower and lower and lower and lower in the chair. Paul says we boast in our tribulation. The power of God is still working through us. So I don't need to lose or start losing faith to stop losing hope because of what is going on around me. Maybe it's not the phone call from the doctor. Maybe it's the pink slip. Help me, somebody. Maybe it's that Dear John letter. Anybody got a Dear John letter? Y'all know what that is? Is that old? That's probably old school. Y'all don't know what that is. I know what they do now. They text you. We done. Send. You're not on my Facebook page no more. That's a Dear John letter for you young folks. You know how you felt when you got there? See, these are tribulations. These are distresses. But Paul says, when I'm weak, then am I strong, because it's the power of God that's helping me with my tribulations. But I got to understand what this justification means first. See, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we have this justification, we can glory in our tribulation. We know that trouble comes and trouble goes, but trouble comes and trouble goes. And when you know that and understand that, you can boast about it.
Amen, preacher.
You know what? The more stuff that Satan puts on me, the stronger I become, because that's just Satan saying, I'm just going to wear you down, Jeff. But every time he give me a right cross, every time he give me an uppercut, every time he stomp on my back, every time he stomps on my chest, every time he takes the wind out of my sail, I can still stand up, because it's the power of God that's working in me and through me, because I've been justified by faith. And I'm climbing the ladder of faith, adding to my faith all those things that's going to help me to deal with the struggle. Am I just talking to myself this morning? Let me just keep on preaching. See, Paul says we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh or produces patience or perseverance. Amen, somebody. And so, again, in our text in verse 4, he says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. This experience is a reference to our Christian character. Our tribulation produces this inner peace that we can rest in the power of God to see us through. It produces this meekness, this humbleness we have in the presence of God and the glory of his power. It produces this joy that we have in the promises of God.
Right.
Now, go with me to James chapter 1. I know we're jumping around a lot, but I'm trying to bring this out so y'all can see what I'm talking about. Is that all right? Go with me to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look what it says there. In James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, my brethren, Count it all joy. Now, that's a head scratcher for some of us. Some of us going through stuff, and then we read this, and it's like, my brethren, count it all joy. When we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh or produces patience. And in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If I just continue to climb those steps, if I just continue to add to my faith, if I just continue to trust in God, see, he's going to give me the victory. Oh, I might not have it now that I got the pay slip. I might not have it now that I got the Dear John letter. I might not have it because I got the bad news from the doctor. I might not have it because people is messing with me. I might not have it because folks are talking about me. I might not have it because folks are making me feel like I'm smaller than this.
Yeah.
But I can continue to add to my faith, and it's that faith that sustains me and keeps me through every trial and tribulation, because what I'm looking for is the glory and the victory that comes at the gates of heaven. Amen, somebody. Yes, he said, this is what Paul wants us to understand in Romans 5, 3, and 4. We can boast in our problems because we have the promises of God. We can boast in our failings because we've obtained the favor of God. We can boast in our suffering because we have obtained salvation through faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. See, we wouldn't understand, when we understand this justification, see, there should be no reason to kick against the pricks. See, Paul himself learned this on a dusty road to Damascus. And there the power of God directed him to a different path, a different road, a different life altogether. Jesus told him back there in Acts, the 9th chapter, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And our submission to Christ also puts us on a different path with a better destination and a greater glory than you and I could ever hope for. See, what we did when we obeyed the gospel, see, we stopped pushing back on God. He told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Stop pushing back on God. God wants you to do something, you push back. God says you ought to be this way, you start pushing back. God says you ought to be more loving, you push back. He says be more patient, you push back. He says be more forbearing, you push back. Be more merciful, you push back. We got to stop pushing back on God.
Come on.
And understand that there's a greater war that's going on out there. See, some of us are engaged in a tug of war with Satan.
Amen.
And guess what? That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing when you understand what being justified by faith really means.
Amen.
See, what it means is, I was going to get some brothers to illustrate this, but I didn't want them pulling me across the room. When you hold on to your faith, y'all stay with me now. When you hold, my pants don't rip. When you hold on, I'm almost done, y'all. When you hold on to your faith, see, when the persecutions come, see, it pulls you in that direction. But see, when you glory in your tribulation, what you say is, instead of you know what you do? See, relaxing in the strength of God and the power of Jesus Christ, what you do is, see, I'm glorying in my tribulation. See, I'm boasting in these tribulations. There's Satan again messing with me. There's Satan again. A dog in me, there's Satan again. Pricking me, there's Satan again. Tugging at me, but I don't let that bother me. Because when I rely on the power of God, I can take two hands and hold on to God and pull him right back the way I need to be. Help me, somebody. When you understand that this tug of war with Satan is real, and that the only power that you have is the power that you have by faith in Jesus Christ, you can grab that rope and you can keep on pulling, because God has given you the strength to do it. Help me, somebody. This sermon must be just for me. It just must be for me. I'm the only one getting it here. In verse 5, of our text. I'm almost done. I'm sorry, I'm almost done. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we receive that Holy Ghost, we receive that measure of understanding, of power,
Amen.
That the power of God through Jesus Christ can rest in us, give us that peace, give us that strength, give us that encouragement, that we can now boast
Amen.
In our infirmities.
Amen. Amen.
Because when I'm weak, then is he strong.
Right. That's right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, that's why this thorn in the flesh, stop telling God to take it away.
Come on, preacher.
Glory in your tribulations. Because what he's trying to do, what God is trying to do, is help you to build your faith.
Right.
He's reminding you, don't stay in the basement of your faith. If you want to get to heaven,
come on, preacher.
You got to climb the steps.
Come on.
Don't just stay on the first rung.
Come on.
Don't just stay on the third rung. Don't just stay on the fifth rung. Climb the steps to heaven's gate.
Amen.
And it starts by understanding our justification.
Yeah,
that's right. And understanding that justification, now we can glorify in our infirmities. Now, that seems like a rough thing to do, Brother Veal, but it's not impossible. Some of us got some bad news. Maybe yesterday.
Amen.
Maybe early this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe last week.
Amen.
Am I the only one in here that's suffering through something right now?
Yeah, come on.
But I'm going to glory in my tribulations because God is working and helping me to build my faith.
Yes.
He says this hope does not disappoint.
Yeah.
It doesn't disappoint because it's the blessed assurance we have in the promises of God. God loved us enough to send his only son to die on the cross for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been justified by faith. We have this access to God through Jesus Christ. We have this blessed hope. And again in our text, Paul says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because it is shed abroad, or rather poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is the down payment of our justification by faith.
Amen.
Last scripture. First, last one I'm going to give you. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. See, this is the down payment. 2 Corinthians 1. This is the down payment. This is what you get when you decide that you're going to be obedient to Jesus. He says, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 21 and 22. He says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In God's appointed time, he sent us redemption. He sent us salvation. And we, you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, have been reconciled to God, justified by faith, baptized into Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and added to the church, the body of Christ, in which Jesus Christ has all power and authority and headship. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Are you trusting in that today? Maybe there's someone here who's part of the body of Christ, and they're struggling with their walk with the Lord. What you're struggling with are your tribulations. What's troubling you today? What's weighing on you today? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's troubling your spirit? Is it a malady? Is it a physical ailment? Is it something in your spirit that is just grinding away at you, tearing away at you, threatening to tear you apart? He says we glory in tribulations. He says when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He says my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. So when you see and feel the weight of the world wearing you down, bearing you down, pushing you down, you can still stand up.
Amen.
You can still stand tall because it's not by your power that you're doing it.
Amen.
God is holding you up.
Good job, sir.
So let God hold you up. But understand what this justification by faith, that I don't care where you are in your Christian walk, you still got some growing to do.
Good job.
But, but listen, amen, as you grow, you got some suffering coming.
Good job. All right.
Come on, bro.
Did you hear what I said? As you grow, you got some suffering coming. If you think your life is perfect, just because you're in the body of Christ and everything's going good,
oh
man, when that car breaks down, when that mortgage fails, and the bank coming for that house, when that husband leaves, when that wife walk out, when them children drive you crazy, when the bills are higher than the roof of your house, you're going to thank God that you are justified by faith, because I'm glorying in my tribulation, because those tribulations produce perseverance. And that perseverance helps to build our faith.
Amen.
I don't talk too long, man. Somebody need to get up here. But if you're not a member of the body of Christ this morning, what hope do you have except in Jesus Christ? You need Christ to help you, not only to, first of all, to deal with your sin state outside of Christ. Romans 3 and 23 is still true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God sends his Son to be our justification. And in obedience to him, we're justified by faith. Well, how do I obtain this faith, Brother Bill? You come to Jesus, hearing and believing his gospel, that he died on an old rugged cross for you and for me, that you repent of your sins, which are keeping you separated from God, and you want to be brought back in the right relationship with God, and you need that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Confess him as Lord, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And out of the watery grave of baptism, you will come a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now you can start climbing the steps to add to your faith. Is there someone here that needs to take that first step of faith? It's just the first step. We have a song like this, it's only a step. But once you take that step, heaven is now on the horizon. But we have to obey God now. To make heaven our home tomorrow, we got to be obedient to Christ today.
Amen.
I asked this question last week. Where are you today? Where are you today? Where are you really? I know what I think, Brother. I know what I feel. I know what I believe, but where are you? Where are you today? And I'm talking to the saints too. Where are you today? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you desire that peace, why don't you just do like the guys in them old movies, you know, when they don't do it no more. Now they fight the cops. But remember when the old movies, when the cops would come and they, you know, surround the house, they say, come out with your hands up.
That's right.
Huh? That meant surrender.
That's right.
Huh? That's what Jesus is saying today.
Amen.
Come out with your hands up.
Come on.
And just surrender.
Amen.
To Jesus. Is there someone out here that's ready to do that today? Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it right now as we together stand and sing the invitation?
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes